morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 34 degrees and snowing. Today is Friday, February 14th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Mary Wegner will be the next superintendent of Sitka Schools. Wegner has been the assistant superintendent in Sitka since 2010. The Sitka School Board named Wegner to the post after a 2.5-hour closed-door meeting Thursday afternoon. Wegner and fellow finalist Eddie Campbell of Parsons, West Virginia, each were interviewed in public session earlier in the day. Campbell is the superintendent of Tucker County Schools. He had spent a year in Kotzebue, Alaska in 2010 as a K-12 principal. Following Thursday's vote, School Board President Lon Garrison said that Wegner was the right pick.
I think we've made a choice that will work well for Sitka. It was a difficult choice. We had two excellent candidates. Obviously, it took us quite a while to go through that process. They both brought very different qualities to their candidacy. But in the end, after we had gone through the public comment and the board had kicked it around the table a considerable amount of time, we decided to go with Mary.
The two candidates participated in a public forum on Wednesday evening and shared their ideas on education. At least one of the students who participated in that meeting, Spencer Combs, was invited into the board's executive session to give feedback on the candidates. Several building principals were invited in as well. Alaska's open meetings law allows elected bodies to work behind closed doors for a very limited and specific set of reasons, including protecting the reputations of individuals who are the subject of discussion. Garrison was not troubled by the board's lack of public deliberation on the merits of the candidates.
Our process is such that we discuss the pros and cons of the candidates, and then we come into regular session. So we made the vote in public.
Mary Wegner worked 4 years previously in the district as director of special education from 1997 to 2001. She's been assistant superintendent the last 3 years. Having heard the board's decision only moments before, she said she was just starting to breathe.
I'm just beyond thrilled to be able to continue to do the work that we've been doing in the district. We're doing good things for kids. We have amazing teachers and we have a very supportive community, and I'm just honored to be able to continue to implement these projects and do what's best for our students.
One of Wegner's first duties when she succeeds Steve Bradshaw at the end of this school year will be to replace herself. She says her new assistant superintendent will be unlike her.
I'm looking for somebody that's going to complete the skills that I don't have. Everybody has different things that they offer and things that they don't offer. And so I'm going to be looking for somebody that can be a good team player and a good complement to my skills.
Wegner agreed to a 2-year contract. She'll be paid $120,000 a year for 260 days of work. She'll have 30 days paid vacation, 7 holidays, and a $1,000 annual allowance for car expenses. Alaska's largest Native organization is challenging a Southeast group to lead the regional campaign to regain federal voting rights protections. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The Alaska Federation of Natives is already campaigning to restore voting protections struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court last year. Speaking at a Native Issues Forum in Juneau, President Julie Kitka asked for regional help.
You have the history in our Native community on helping, leading us to getting us to the right to vote on that. And we need letters, opinion pieces. We need the full weight of the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Sisterhood.
The organizations have a 100-year history of advocating for Alaska Native rights, including voting. The Brotherhood and Sisterhood have about 20 local chapters called camps, based mostly in Southeast. ANB Regional President Bill Martin says the organizations are behind the effort.
At our ANB convention in Yakutat in October, we passed a resolution. And we'll be there again this year, both the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Alaska Native Sisterhood, to voice our objection.
The Federal Voting Rights Act used to require Alaska and some southern states to get pre-approval for redistricting plans. That led officials to set some election district boundaries so they include significant Native populations. That's the part of the act the U.S. Supreme Court struck down. Bipartisan legislation proposed in January would restore some of those provisions. AFN's Kitka says a coalition of Latino, African American, Asian American, and other civil rights groups is backing the proposed amendment. But she says it won't do any good here.
At this time, we're not included in that amendment. In fact, Native Americans get no protections under the formula that they use, and we calculate it would probably cost us $800,000 to file lawsuits enough to trigger for us to be considered under that federal mechanism.
That's why her organization is seeking statewide support for changes to the act that would include Alaska Natives. The Supreme Court ruling came as Alaska's redistricting board shuffled election boundaries. The plan used for the 2012 elections was a factor in the defeat of Southeast's two incumbent Tlingit lawmakers, and that came before the court ruling. The plan has since undergone minor changes, but none expected to help either win back seats. Kitka says restoring some of the Voting Rights Act struck down provisions would help more people cast ballots.
Over the last few years, we've seen increasing efforts to try to really depress people voting as people try to angle for this campaign or that campaign. And so from our vantage point, it's critically important that we make sure that we have that rock-solid foundation protection of our voting rights.
The High Court ruled redistricting preclearance was based on a history of discrimination that no longer exists. Alaska's redistricting board agreed, saying changes in Native voting power have more to do with population growth and rural-urban shifts than redrawing election boundaries. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.
You can hear AFN President Julie Kitka's full address to Juneau's Native Issues Forum on our website. It's posted with this report. And last weekend, in the middle of the night, 100 red dots mysteriously appeared on benches, signposts, and trees around Wrangell and Petersburg. KSTK's Shady Grove Oliver has the story of who put them up and why.
Word on the street is a buzz this week with curiosity about these little red dots. Some find them surprising, others find them disturbing. But there's one thing that's for sure. They've been noticed.
You know, we did notice that quite a few of those red dots were taken down, and I think that that's perfect. That's exactly what we want. We want these red dots to go away.
Julie Folley is a school counselor with Alaska Island Community Services, or AICS. She says that making people stop and pay attention is the whole point. Each of the laminated paper circles describes some type of violent act. There are dots for rape, school bullying, domestic violence, and stalking.
You know, statistics show that 75% of Alaskans either have experienced some form of violence or know of someone who has, and that's a really high number. That's definitely something that is maintained on our radar.
The red dots are part of a nationwide campaign called Green Dot. In Southeast, it's funded through a Strategic Prevention Framework State Incentive Grant, or SPFSIG. Folley is one of the AICS grantees and works on prevention and awareness of minor alcohol consumption and adult binge drinking. But she says this is the first time she and her grant partners at Petersburg Mental Health Services have tried a project like this.
It's an intervention that we are kind of tailoring to Alaska. It's never quite been done in a community-wide setting. It's always been, you know, very specific communities like college campuses, high school campuses, things like that. So it's actually kind of exciting and interesting to see how people respond to it because it's not been done before.
She says the response has varied from avid support to people feeling upset that the dots bring back bad memories. And that's why the red dots are slowly going away. Over the course of the month, each violent dot will be replaced by a green circle describing ways people can stop violence in their communities.
Often we feel uncomfortable when we are witnessing a violent action. It could be the neighbor next door that's yelling just a little too loud, or it could be, you know, the sound of a slap. It could be witnessing someone being pulled from the bar. We tend to feel uncomfortable and not know what to do in these situations. And Green Dot kind of empowers people. The green dots that you'll be seeing around town give examples of what you can do.
Green Dot works with a three-tiered strategy of the three Ds: direct, delegate, and distract. Direct is self-explanatory, engaging with people in a violent situation to stop it. Delegate means getting help from people who are better equipped to handle the problem, like police, EMS, or a family member. And distract is a bit more passive. Folly says if you see someone being dragged out of a bar, for example, you can text or call the perpetrator. She says that sometimes breaking a person's focus during an act of violence can be a calm and safe way to intervene.
And they find that that can be just as effective as stepping in, just as effective as physically getting in between a fight, which often you don't want to do. You want to, protect your safety.
Folly says the Red Dot Green Dot project might seem a little bit obscure at first, but she hopes it will start a community discussion that needs to happen.
I would say that Wrangell's no different than any community in that we're identifying that violence is prevalent throughout Alaska and states down south as well. So we're not singling Wrangell out as a violent community. We are merely trying to provide tools to prevent any violence in the future.
Folly says if Green Dot reaches just 20% of Wrangell or Petersburg, it will be a big step toward a future free from violence. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Shady Grove Oliver.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. And to find out more about Green Dot, you can contact AICS in Wrangell or Petersburg Mental Health Services. If you'd like to hear any of the Raven News stories you heard this morning, you can go to our website, kcaw.org. To read comments on our stories on Facebook, click on the Facebook link. No registration or login is required. And to have KCAW News headlines tweeted directly to your smartphone, tablet, or computer, click on the Twitter link. It's 34 degrees in downtown Sitka, and snow is picking up a bit. Stay tuned for NPR's Morning Edition, and I will be back with you at 8:18. I'll be speaking with Brenda Campin about Elizabeth Peredovich Day. So stay tuned for that if you can, and have a safe morning. It's just about 1 minute after 8 a.m. This is KCAW. Thanks so much for joining me, and have a good morning.